This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. It is our episode of Good Things, where we speak to good people doing good things. And today we're speaking to Jeshrin Vincent, who one morning at the age of 19 woke up and discovered that he had become partially deaf. With no warning of this happening, the young man was devastated and he fell into a deep depression. But drawing on support from those around him, Jeshrin managed to pick himself up and decided to become a musician and a traveling one at that. He has been recognized by the Malaysia Book of Records for having traveled to the most countries, having visited 102 nations in 69 months, and performing music and sharing his story of hope and overcoming obstacles to all that he met. And he joins me today to share his story. Welcome, Jeshrin. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. Firstly, thank you for this opportunity to share my journey in this station here.
Thank you for reaching out. And this is, I think, a story that all of us need to hear. Maybe we can go back to that time, to that day when you were 19 years old, you know, when you suddenly woke up and discovered that you had, partially lost your hearing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so at the age of 19, what happened was one day when I woke up, I completely lost my left side hearing. So many people might have questions like, oh, how this is possible or how this could happen. That happened to me without any symptoms, without any like warnings or so on. So I just slept as usual night, and then the next day I woke up, I completely couldn't hear anything. And at the point of time, because you know when you lose one side of your hearing, you will lose your overall body balance as well. So I couldn't stand up from my bed. So I was rushed to hospital, and after doing a couple of tests, they just said, oh, Jeshrin, you just lost your left side hearing, just like that. So, and it took me about more than a week actually to be able to stand up, because the other organs start absorbing the loss of the left side hearing, right? Mm. And then after more detailed checks and so on, the doctor said, you just lost your left side hearing, and we couldn't do much actually. So it was very a big moment, a big life-changing moment in my life, in the sense that how this is possible, how come it can happen? And it brings a big doubt in my life is, okay, what's going to happen to my future? Why all this happening at a very young age? And there's a lot of questions running in my mind, but there's no answers. And people around me also started telling things like, oh, this is a form of punishment from God or something and so on. So they make things more worse actually in that point of time. And I was there, there's no help, a lot of questions, and I couldn't share anyone, because when I start sharing, people don't understand what am I going through as well. So that actually started building some kind of depression in my life, and slowly it started to grow more and more, and I couldn't share this with anyone. So it started to grow more and more from there actually. Yeah, that is basically what happened at the age of 19 actually.
Yeah. And I mean, it's devastating, isn't it? You're 19, you're probably in college, you know, thinking about your future. And, you know, this suddenly just throws a curveball into all your plans. And, you know, as you mentioned, you went into a deep depression, right? If I'm correct.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, how did you deal with it? What were the days like? What kind of thoughts were going through your head?
Firstly, because through the depression, it actually break down my self-confidence, in the sense that even though I'm around with people and so on, actually, I'm very afraid, because I always think that, oh, I'm not as good as them. They have advantage in me. And because even though probably we are equal, but the sense that mindset in myself actually started killing me, actually. So even though, like, whenever I started to go to the university, slowly I was able to study and go to the university. I tend to be very quiet because I think that I'm not good, so I just better keep quiet. Mm. So that actually started killing me deeper and deeper in my life, and it started bringing like low esteem in my life actually. Yeah, so that is basically what happened. And there's the another thing is, no one could understand me, even though I tell these people say, oh no, you're just fine, but I couldn't resolve the root cause of it actually. So yeah, that was the struggles that I was facing back then actually. Yep.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And you know, you kind of alluded to how people reacted. Some, I would say, cruel people saying that this is a punishment from God. I mean, who says that? Gosh. But I mean, how about the other people? You know, how did your family react to it? Who did you draw on for support, you know, during that time?
Of course, there were people who actually say those words like, oh, this is a kind of punishment. But there were also people like my family members who actually came and encouraged. And basically, my family members understand what I'm going through after a while, and then they started to actually understand my needs and understand the way I do things and so on. So slowly I got all the support from my mom and dad, especially my mom, especially my late mom, especially because she started understanding me and started to motivate me and encourage me to, Nama, it's okay, just press on and you can make a difference. So that is where slowly I got all the supports to make a difference as well. Yeah.
Okay, your mom and your family. And maybe you can tell me a little bit about them, you know, because I know that they were a source of support and they were very encouraging and very helpful in getting you out of that depression that you were facing. Tell me a little bit about your family.
My mom and dad, I used to have, including me, there's four siblings. But in 2014, I lost my youngest brother actually through a road accident. Very last year, I lost my mom because of cancer. It was a big change in my life, especially after losing both of them, because my brother was really close to me and my mom was a big pillar of support because everything, she has been there, being encouraging me to play music, being encouraging me to do, supporting me in all the while, even though many people has been discouraging me from traveling and making a difference out there, but my mom always understands and keep telling me, keep on going. And so it's a big loss, especially losing my mom and my brother. But through that, I just keep on pressing on and to go on to make a difference as well. So yeah, even though there's times, a lot of times and struggles and so on, but yet I can say by God's grace, I'm able to still go on and continue to make an impact out there. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I'm sorry to press on this, but I do know that, you know, losing your brother, and you lost him quite suddenly, right? It was a very sudden loss. It was to an accident, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep.
And I know that came to impact you very greatly, right? And made you sort of change your mindset a little bit. Maybe you can share that story.
The thing is, when I got the news of my brother met in an accident, it's just that commonly when we heard of accident, it's probably just some scars or some bone that breaks and so on. But I never expect that my brother was in red zone the moment I arrived in the hospital. Okay. And he was fighting for life. And that actually really shocked me. I can see my family members waiting out there. And just that one second, the doctor just told us that, okay, he passed away on this time. And it was very, very hard to accept that someone just beside you a few hours ago and then a few hours later, that person is no longer there. And actually, that actually bring a big question in my life. What is the purpose of life? So that makes me question life. Why there's a purpose of life, and what am I doing? And how can I make an impact in this life? So that's actually changed the perspective of my life. That no, there is a purpose, and with all these talents or whatever I'm going through, there is an impact that I can make. And when looking back one day, I need to see that my life has made an impact. So that changed the whole perspective of how I see things in my life, actually, to the death of my brother.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was very supportive, isn't it, when you had lost your hearing? I mean, he was like another source of support and encouragement and love for you as well.
Yep, absolutely. Because he has been, I got to know this after he passed away, that through his friends, he told me that he shared a lot about me and my music, which I didn't know while he was alive. So that really... it makes me sad. I mean, it makes me happy, but also like, wow, I didn't know my brother had me as an inspiration for him at that point of time. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm speaking today to Jeshrin Vincent. He's a traveling musician, actually, and he was recognized by the Malaysia Book of Records for having traveled to the most countries, having visited 102 nations in 69 months. And Jeshrin actually is partially deaf. He lost his hearing quite suddenly at the age of 19, and he's sharing his story with us. So when we come back from this quick break, we're going to find out more about how Jeshrin got that recognition from the Book of Records and became the most widely traveled musician here in Malaysia. That's coming up after this. You're tuned to Good Things on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. It is an episode of Good Things now, and I'm speaking today to Jeshrin Vincent, who is a traveling musician, but he also became partially deaf when he was 19 years old, out of nowhere. He just woke up one day, and that was the case. And Jeshrin is sharing his story with us today about being a traveling musician who has been recognized by the Malaysia Book of Records for having traveled to the most countries. Jeshrin, I guess, you know, take me back to how music became a part of your life. Not many of us have that calling to be a musician. What was it for you?
I just want to share something that happened in my life. So at the age of 10, schools in Malaysia, they teach this instrument called recorder. It's similar to flute, actually.
Oh, yes, so I remember
read,
that.
Yeah. So we read all those notes and everything. And actually, I really played very bad. But at that point of time, the first songs on the syllabus was Mary Had a Little Lamb. While I was struggling to play that song, my classmates around me could play the Titanic theme, which is like out of the syllabus, actually. So that's how far music and with me. And my teacher used to actually scold me. But they did all kinds of way to motivate me. But I was just not into music. But however, it changed one day when at the same age, 10 years old, I heard one song. And that song really touched me. And I just went home and I took the flute, which I couldn't play. And within 2 hours, I was able to figure out how to play by myself, just self-taught like that.
Mm.
And my mom was my first audience, actually. And so my mom I played in front of my mom. My mom was shocked. And so she sent me to a particular music school, a choir. And then that music teacher told me that you're too small and probably you can just come back one day when I call you. So I was waiting because that was the only opportunity I able to learn music. So I waited for 1 year, 2 years. But eventually, after 4 years, when I was 14 years old, he called me and he started teaching me music. And my first instrument at that point of time was the bass guitar. At that point of time, the guitar was almost my height. And when I put it on me, it's like I'm holding a shotgun. And people used to say, Jeshwan, are you playing the guitar or the guitar is playing you? So many people used to make fun and discourage me. But I was just telling that, I just said that, oh, this instrument, I believe it's for me and I'm able to play. So within 3 months, I was able to beat the odds. I was able to play the instrument. And from there on, slowly, naturally, I started practicing hours after hours to play the guitar more and more. And eventually, that is how I eventually become a musician.
Okay. And I guess, you know, it was even all the more devastating to lose your hearing or part of your hearing as a musician, right? I mean, how did that come to impact the way you you played your music and you listened to music?
Yeah. So at first, it was really a big impact, especially because you lost your hearing. You think the whole world is over. But slowly, I think what I learned was if we make a certain changes or we open for changes, actually, I started able to overcome all those difficulties. For instance, one small change I did was I started adjusting the amplifier or whenever I play anywhere, I put the speakers on the right-hand side of me so that I was able to play the music that I play. So I make few changes and I also be honest with people. I always tell them straight up front whenever I play in a band or so on, I have this disability, so I only can do things in such a way. And then they will really understand. Mm-hmm. And whenever I go for recording, I use the mono. There's this thing called stereo and mono. I use the mono way whereby you get all the sound in 1 year. So I was able to proceed with the recording. So a couple of changes actually able to enable me to continue on with my music journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's just about looking for different solutions to different problems, right? I mean, there are things out there.
Yep, absolutely. Because many people think that, oh, once certain things happen, and then, as I said, they think that the world is over. But I think it's not that. That means that there is a way, actually, to help us to go on beyond that, actually. And many people think that, oh, it's a big struggle. I'm not open to this. And many people feel that I think, no, I don't want to try this. But I think that one small step, right, I took, right, actually make a big difference for where am I now, actually.
Yeah. And I'm just going to go back to 2014, right? So that's when you lost your brother, but that was also when you decided to pack your bags and go to Myanmar and to start your journey as a traveling musician. You know, what made you decide to do that?
So while the same year, I lost my brother in January, and while I was working a full-time job in a financial company, 7-to-4 job, and my off days are Sunday and Monday. So at that point of time, I was thinking that, okay, so while I'm established at work, why not I just want to continue my passion that actually with my music, how can I impact someone out there? Because I believe that many people out there are going through, probably going through what I'm going through. How can my life be a small impact that actually can be an encouragement for them? So that is where I started in Myanmar, which are probably the most interesting thing is because I don't know why I had that instinct to go there, to Myanmar, and I bought a ticket at that point of time for 200 ringgit up and down. It was quite reasonable, and I didn't know anyone there. I just bought a ticket that hoping that to get in touch with someone there. And interestingly, 12 hours before my flight, I got a contact point, and I went to the airport. They gave me a picture and just told me to go to Myanmar and then just said, find this person in the airport. You know, like the movie, I got my phone. I started finding this person, but I got confused because at that point of time, Everyone there looks almost the same. So until someone tapped me, tapped behind of me, and then I realized like, oh, this was the person who came to fetch me from the airport. But then, you know, there's new challenges came in the sense of language, because the person couldn't understand what am I trying to say. But somehow I was able to use sign language and so on. So I went to those villages to play, rural villages, to just play my music and share my story. And I just came back thinking, wow, that was a one-off journey and it's great. I was fine. I was feeling that, oh, that was great. I impacted a lot of people there. And I think it was, okay, that was fine. But never in my mind that I thought the following month, I went to another country. And then from there, the following month, I went to another country. And it was able to continue for up to 39 months before my financial organization know that I was doing this while working a full-time job. At the point of time, sorry, I traveled 39 countries at the point of time in 30 months while holding a full-time job. And that is where my office got to know I was doing this during the weekends, actually. Yeah, so that is how it all kick-started and gone from there, actually.
Okay. Were they supportive, your workplace? Were they supportive of what you were doing on the side?
Yeah, actually, they were shocked because at the point of time, I came out in one of the news, TV news. So they were really shocked and they were saying, how were you able to do this? Like, you were away. Because the thing is, I leave right after work at 4. I finish at 4. And I'll be in KLIA by 5. And I'll be taking a flight off by 8 or 9. And then while I arrive there, Sunday and Monday, I perform. And I come back Monday night. Oh, I come back Tuesday early morning and I straight go to work. So basically, no one else able, because I was there back on work on time, so that nothing wrong, right? So my office was shocked and they were really touched by what I was doing. They were actually started to be more supportive, whereby they're able to give me shift adjustments. For instance, if I come back late, they were able to help me to adjust the shift, yet covering the same hours of working while I was doing this, actually. So that was a big help, and my line leaders at that point of time kept me, inspiring me to go on more and more. And yeah, so slowly, they were part of my journey and traveling as well. Yeah.
That's really wonderful. You know, so much of support. And you travel to all these different countries. I mean, tell me about some of the countries that you visited and how did the people react to you? You know, how did they react to your story, to your music, to basically the whole package?
So before I share that, just one thing that initially I started singing songs when I performed. But I realized that people don't understand the language because, you know, not every country speaks English, or probably in rural villages, it was quite hard to engage with people. So I changed the way I play. I started playing instrumentals, just play the music alone, and I'm using some tracks and play instrumentals. And that itself was able to, people really like the music. And that was like a form of engagement whereby I'm able to attract their attention. So I started going to interesting countries. I traveled to a lot of countries, but I share with you some interesting countries like Syria, Afghanistan, Somalia, Pakistan, and all these countries where people have probably a different impression on them. But actually, there are the countries that I was really, really touched a lot by the way the people treated me and the hospitality they showed towards me. Because people have an impression that, oh, these countries are related to so and so. But when I was there, I was like really touched, especially in Syria and Afghanistan. When I play the music on the streets or on the places where the schools they bring me, I really saw people just come flooding and was really, really inspired by what I was doing. And I felt so touched because like, wow, like I felt the value of like doing this. Wow, like, wow, there was like so much value in doing this. When I see people really was inspired, people really was touched, and people, especially people who go through suicidal thoughts, they come and openly say that, wow, you just give me something new that I can take home. And this has really inspired me. So all those moments are something that actually, like, I felt really touched. And that actually kept me going to different nations as well, yeah.
That's really lovely that, you know, you could share your story and that, you know, others felt comfortable enough to share their stories with you as well. What are some, okay, so those were some of the highs, I suppose, of your travels. But were there any low points when you were traveling? You know, was there anything that maybe wasn't so great?
Probably there was once because of the immigration issues whereby I missed the bus. I was in one of these particular countries. I missed the particular bus because the bus left me because I got delayed in the immigration. And subsequently, the other form of transportation I choose, which is a bike, to bring me to chase the bus. And basically, the rider actually stopped on the middle of the road and actually tried to take money from me. And I was alone. I got trapped alone. And that was one of the struggles. And the other struggles I faced was whereby when I arrive on time and the organizers don't turn up, or I have to stay in the airport probably for 2 days, 2 nights, people don't turn up, and things get cancelled. And those are the challenges. And whereby visas, I don't get the visas on time. One of these countries, I did everything so right until, and especially for Malaysian passport, we are able to go into that particular country, but only to be told that the regulation just changed overnight and I was stranded in some places like that. So those are the challenges that I faced during this challenge traveling. But in the good thing, when I faced all this, actually it gave me more courage. Sometimes I really heartbroken, I cry because, you know, things happen just like that. I in the sense that I tears over that. But that gave me more courage to prove and to go on that I want to go into this country. And somehow, a few months or years later, I was able to go into those places to play music, actually. Yeah, so it's all about taking a step. Sometimes the door doesn't open at that point of time, but somehow it opens up in the future. Whereby, for instance, in Somalia, if I can share, the Somalia embassy told me that it's quite hard to allow you to go because of certain uncertain situation in those countries. But while I was in Saudi Arabia, I tried again. I went to this embassy in Saudi Arabia of Somalia, and the Somalia government just was shocked when I told them I would like to go to Somalia to play my music and share my journey. So when the officer went to meet the ambassador and came out and just asked me, do you know anyone in Somalia? And I said, no, I don't know anyone. And I was thinking, okay, that's it. There goes my chance. I couldn't play. But he just told me that, don't worry, we will help you in. We will get you to the Somalia National TV for you to play your music. Wow. And so when I was in Somalia, they helped me. They brought me to the National TV. I played my music and I was really touched. You see, a door was closed a few months ago, but because I did not give up, the same door was open and I was able to go up to the National TV to play music. And that itself inspired a lot of person throughout this that travel at the point of time there. Yeah, so those are those challenges. But I would like to say, do not give up in our life. Like those struggles, don't give up, because those challenges are breaks us, and one day it will give us the courage to overcome those challenges through different doors, I believe, or maybe the same doors at different times. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when a door closes somewhere, a window opens, right?
Yeah,
and you know, last year, as I mentioned earlier, you were recognized by the Malaysia Book of Records for, as I said, you know, being the Malaysian who has traveled to the most countries. You know, how was that win for you? How was that recognition for you?
So it's something really shocked me, because I was like, wow. I mean, like, I was really happy when I was told that I got the recognition. But the moment I received the recognition, I was also a bit sad, because the most important person that should be beside me, which is my mom, is not there. Because she passed away in April and I got the record in June. So there was just 2 months, 2 months difference. Yeah. So it was a bittersweet experience, I could say, because to be recognized as such a big moment, whereby after hearing all many people say many things, especially to my parents, that your son is crazy, your son is doing something, he's doing something that, yes, what is he trying to do? What is he trying to prove? But eventually, when that one moment was just there, just to prove everyone wrong, was just something great. But at the point of time, my mom not being there was also something that I missed at that point of time, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I understand that. But I mean, last year was, I guess, a tough year for all of us. And I mean, the pandemic obviously, I guess, put a stop to your traveling as well, right? So what have you been doing in that interim? You know, I know, I'm sure you're going to start traveling as soon as the green light, as soon as the green lights are given, but what are you currently working on?
So currently I'm teaching music. I give music lessons for people, especially to autism children, because I believe through them there's a lot of potential in them, just that many people don't see it. So I first actually engaged with an autism guy, and first, to be honest, it was challenging, but I managed to find ways to teach him, actually. So that gave me the courage that, hey, there's many more children out there. And slowly I was able to teach music to them. And currently I'm also working on my second book, because through this pandemic, I mean, I'm seeing this as an opportunity, not that, it put a full stop to my traveling. No, I think it's an opportunity to work on other things. So I'm started to working on my second book. These are the basic two things that I'm doing. And I give talks as well. To different university schools, through these online platforms. Interestingly, I give talks to schools up to Brazil, actually. Wow. So it was like, I think it was 6 o'clock early morning for us, and it was like a day before for them, 6 p.m. in their time. So it was an opportunity, because of this online platform. I was able to be connected in different parts of the world to share this my story and encourage people. Yeah, so these are the three things that currently I'm working on. Yeah.
Okay, and I mean those book. You've already published one book. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I just want to share you something interesting, and I hope this inspires everyone. Because why? During my university, when I was studying in University Malaysia Sabah, I actually struggled to write a 10-page assignment. Seriously, but you won't believe, right? In life, can brings you different challenges and so on. I was able to be empowered to write a book, actually, especially on my own book. It all started whenever I started thinking that all those stories I have, there's a lot of stories I have, but I cannot share all the stories in one platform because probably I get 30 minutes and I can share two or three stories, but I have like 50 stories to share. So I started writing few of those stories and become one book, and I titled the book Into the Potter's Hand. Reason being, I just was sharing about how my life was broken and going through different challenges, and how slowly I was able to find the strength and courage to overcome those challenges and go on as a musician, as a traveler, to do what I'm doing now. So I just drafted the book, and within 2 months I was able to draft the book because it was all the stories were from me. It was a life experience. So I just write my early life, how I become a musician, and how did I started this. So came to a point after 2 months, I reaching a amount of number of pages, I felt that okay, this could be book one. So I gave it to one of my friends who volunteered to edit the book, and subsequently after the editing process, I self published the book. And that was my first book that was published in 2017. So at that point of time, not many people knew me. So it was quite hard to actually to say that I actually did a book. But subsequently down the road, many people, after hearing or getting to know what I'm doing, people actually wow, it was impressive to hear. So it did not happen at that point of time whereby people, the book was many people start getting it. But after years or months down the road, people start obtaining it and started reading it and started giving me feedback. So sometimes in our life, when you do something, just don't think that, it's a failure at that point of time. No, because down the road, you will never know how it can inspire or impact people at that point of time. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And your second book, the one that you're currently working on, what's that on?
Okay, so the second book is an interesting journey because to be honest with you, I went to South America for 39 days. I stopped in 21 countries. And the most important thing I did was, when I left Malaysia, I traveled with zero money, absolutely zero. That means there was no any zero money. So I actually covered 39 days with zero money. And that was the exciting journey that I'm writing on, actually.
Wow.
So how did I stop in 39 days traveling with zero money, yet staying with local people, traveling by all kinds of medium of transportation, yet able to complete. So seriously, I never did that before in my life. Zero money, that was really challenging. So, but I was able to go on actually to finish 39 days with stopping in 21 countries. And another interesting thing in that traveling, right? In 8 days during the second week, it was really tiring because in 8 days, I was in 8 countries.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Morning I reach, morning I reach Bolivia. I have 3 or 4 different talks to share. And then by midnight, I just sleep. And the next morning, 4 o'clock, I'm awake to continue to the next country. And that happened for 8 days. And it was really challenging. But it was really fun. It was never some things that I never did before. But because I went through the process, here am I was able to share this all this exciting journey. And yeah, so I'm writing all those experience in that second book. Yep.
Okay, excellent. So I guess, a lot of interesting things, and I guess, you will continue to travel once we can safely do that. But, if anyone's listening and they're interested to get in touch or to collaborate with you in any way, what's the best way that they can do that?
I guess they can contact me through Jeshurun Linson in social media. That will be JESHURUN and then VIN. CENT, Jeshurun Linson. So I believe if there's anyone hearing this, if you're inspired and you like me to share this journey, because I share all this for free, if you like me to share this in any schools or universities or any group, I would be really interested or really would love to do it because I believe this can inspire or impact someone out there. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for joining me today. Any last message that you'd like to leave us with, Jeshurun?
Yeah, so there's in my journey that I shared, there's a lot of failures. There's a lot of things that I learned. But in slowly, every step in my life, all those failures, I learned that if we take the steps, the courage to go on, we will be able to overcome all those failures. All those failures will be a lesson for us to be a better person. So do not think that a failure is a full stop, but it's if you take a step, it will be a great moment for you, because all those lessons you learn will push you to where you will be one day in your life, and then you will never know all those when one day in your life that all those the journey you have will impact many more people out there. So I believe your life is the biggest gift, and continue to use it to make an impact out there. Regardless it's pandemic or it's not a pandemic, you can make a big impact out there. That's all for me.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us and for joining me and for sharing that story, you know, about overcoming obstacles. And I guess, you know, just never giving up, right? I guess that's the bottom line.
Yep, correct. Never giving up.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeshrin. I've been speaking to Jeshrin Vincent. He is a traveling musician. He lost his hearing at the age of 19, or partially lost his hearing at the age of 19. But he hasn't let that stop him, and he's traveled to so many countries across the world sharing his story and performing music. So again, if you'd like to get in touch, you can always email Jeshrin. Just follow Jeshrin on Facebook or Instagram if you'd like to stay updated. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can always search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.